Imagine being first on scene at a community pool where a child has been pulled from the water, not breathing. Would you know what to do? For emergency medical technicians, this scenario isn't hypothetical. It's daily reality, where knowledge means the difference between life and death. The EMT's world operates on a fundamental paradox. While medical professionals typically learn before they're tested, EMTs face tests without warning, then extract lessons afterward. This high-stakes environment requires not just technical proficiency, but emotional resilience, critical thinking under pressure, and unwavering commitment to patient advocacy. When someone calls 911, they activate a complex network designed to deliver life-saving care. Emergency medical dispatchers become the first link in the chain of survival, providing critical pre-arrival instructions from CPR guidance to helping deliver babies. These dispatchers use standardized protocols to quickly assess emergencies, while enhanced 911 systems display caller location automatically in most urban areas. The National EMS Education Standards establish 4 certification levels. Emergency medical responders provide immediate basic care, like bleeding control and CPR. EMTs add oxygen administration and comprehensive patient assessment. Advanced EMTs introduce IV access and additional medications. Paramedics represent the highest level, with extensive training in cardiac monitoring, pharmacology, and critical care interventions. What makes this system work is the sophisticated transport network connecting patients with specialized facilities, stroke centers with immediate CT scanning capabilities, cardiac centers with 24/7 catheterization labs, and trauma centers offering varying degrees of surgical expertise. This intricate system ensures patients receive the right care at the right place in the right time window. EMTs prioritize safety hierarchically: personal, partner, patient, and bystander safety. Not from selfishness, but because an injured EMT becomes another patient rather than a provider. Scene assessment begins at call receipt and continues until patient transfer, evaluating hazards from traffic to violence to hazardous materials. Personal protective equipment, minimally gloves, serves as the first defense line. Medical restraint is employed only when patients pose immediate danger, requiring additional help, minimum necessary force, supine positioning, soft padded restraints, and continuous monitoring. The use of force doctrine demands reasonable action, with force being protective rather than punitive. EMTs operate under their physician medical director's license within a defined scope of practice based on certification level, not individual knowledge. Patient consent forms the cornerstone of legal practice, whether expressed, implied for unconscious patients, or with special considerations for minors. To provide effective emergency care, EMTs must understand the human body's complex workings. The body constantly maintains homeostasis within remarkably narrow parameters. The respiratory system includes the upper airway, nose to larynx, and lower airway, trachea to alveoli, with only alveoli handling gas exchange. Breathing involves the diaphragm and intercostal muscles expanding during inhalation, active, and relaxing during exhalation, passive. The circulatory system functions as 2 connected pumps. The stronger left side distributes oxygenated blood throughout the body, while the right side sends deoxygenated blood to the lungs. Blood flows from the vena cava, through heart chambers, to lungs for oxygenation, back through the heart, and out via the aorta. The nervous system comprises the central component, brain and spinal cord, and peripheral nerves. The brain contains the cerebrum, thought/memory, cerebellum, coordination, and brainstem, essential functions. The peripheral system includes sensory and motor divisions, with the latter containing the fight or flight, sympathetic, and rest and digest, parasympathetic systems that maintain bodily balance. Without a patent airway and adequate ventilation, all other interventions are futile. The body can survive weeks without food, days without water, but only minutes without oxygen. Airway obstruction typically occurs when the tongue falls backward in unconscious patients, though fluids, swelling, and foreign bodies also pose threats. Assessment involves checking chest movement, breath sounds, and air movement. Adequate breathing shows normal rates, 12 to 20 for adults, higher for children, non-labored effort, and clear bilateral lung sounds. Pulse oximetry measures oxygen saturation, with supplemental oxygen needed below 94%. Airway management includes manual techniques like head tilt chin lift for unconscious patients without spine injury and jaw thrust for suspected spine injuries. Mechanical adjuncts include oropharyngeal airways for unresponsive patients without gag reflexes and nasopharyngeal airways for those with intact reflexes. Assisted ventilation becomes necessary when patients can't breathe adequately, requiring gentle chest rise at 10 to 12 breaths per minute for adults, faster for children. Pediatric airways obstruct more easily due to larger tongues, and children develop hypoxia faster. Patient assessment combines systematic methodology with adaptable thinking. The process begins with scene size up, evaluating safety, hazards, resources, and mechanism of injury or illness, continuing until care transfers. The primary assessment identifies life-threatening conditions through a structured approach. It starts with forming a general impression, observing age, position, distress signals, and appearance. Level of consciousness uses the AVPU scale, alert, responsive to voice, responsive to pain, or unresponsive. For unresponsive patients, the CAB approach prioritizes circulation, airway, and breathing. Patient history gathering employs the sample framework: signs, symptoms, allergies, medications, past medical history, last oral intake, and events leading to injury illness. Open-ended questions encourage detailed responses, while closed-ended questions provide specific information for urgent situations. The secondary assessment identifies remaining conditions without delaying transport. Vital signs establish baseline status, with measurements every 15 minutes for stable patients or 5 minutes for unstable ones. Reassessment occurs regularly and after interventions or condition changes. Certain conditions demand immediate recognition and intervention. Shock, inadequate tissue perfusion, progresses through compensated, decompensated, and irreversible stages. The four main types include cardiogenic, heart can't pump effectively, obstructive, mechanical obstruction, distributive, widespread vasodilation, and hypovolemic, fluid loss. Cardiac emergencies include angina pectoris, temporary ischemia resolving with rest, and myocardial infarction, permanent heart muscle damage. MI pain typically lasts longer than angina, can occur at rest, and doesn't respond to nitroglycerin. Stroke presents with facial droop, slurred speech, unilateral weakness, and altered consciousness. Diabetic emergencies include rapid-onset hypoglycemia, causing altered mental status, and slower hyperglycemia, with excessive thirst, urination, and fruity breath. Anaphylaxis, a severe systemic allergic reaction, impairs airway, respiratory, and cardiovascular systems through excessive immune response to allergens, requiring immediate intervention. Different patient populations require specialized approaches. Pediatric patients have larger tongues and heads proportionally, smaller airways, and breathe abdominally. They metabolize oxygen faster and lose heat more quickly due to greater surface area to mass ratio. The pediatric assessment triangle enables rapid visual evaluation through appearance, breathing effort, and skin circulation. Geriatric patients present challenges with complex medical histories and physiological vulnerabilities. Even minor incidents like ground-level falls can cause severe injuries due to age-related changes. Communication must be direct, using one question at a time with extended response time. Pregnant patients undergo physiological changes affecting assessment. The growing uterus displaces organs, respiratory and cardiac demands increase, and typical shock signs become masked. Any maternal injury threatens the fetus, requiring vigilance. For patients with communication challenges, EMTs must adapt. Facing hearing-impaired patients directly, verbally guiding vision-impaired patients, and showing patients with speech-impaired individuals. These adaptations are essential components of effective emergency care.